www.thebeatmaker.com.
Indicated to me that we would always have risks because this system is brand new and no one has operated a system like this before to any degree. So we always knew that there would be the possibility that some things would go wrong. No one indicated that this could possibly go this wrong.
And gives you freedom to pursue whatever you want without fear that accident or illness will derail your dreams. Now, this marketplace is open now. Insurance companies are competing for that business. The deal is good. The prices are low.
The problem is not so fast. A lot of people are getting jammed up with premiums that are three times as high, Mr. President. Hello and welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. It's all about Obamacare and the website and people getting letters in the mail canceling their insurance and Kathleen Sebelius, who testified on the Hill and apologized several times. You heard what she said there, not realizing what was going to happen with the website, never anticipating that was going to happen with the website. It did. It's been a nightmare for the president. And because of the frustrations out there, you can see it reflected in the polls. Brutal poll numbers. And moving forward, I don't know that these numbers improve anytime soon. I don't think so. All-time low, according to the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, for what it's worth, looking at the president's numbers, the number that we're talking down, that it's at now, where it's down 5 points from early October. Only 42% approve of the president's job performance. It makes sense if you follow the bouncing ball called Affordable Care or Obamacare. That's when things have slipped since the rollout on the 1st. They're not confident. People aren't confident about Obamacare, figuring out what they're going to do next, depending on their personal situation and how much it's going to cost them and what the deductible is. Because sometimes, in some cases, you're talking about deductibles for poor people of $8,000, $10,000, and they're saying, well, why should I bother? I don't understand. And when they realize the fine is a nothing burger, because in the beginning it's really small, some of them are going to opt not to do that. But the press for flesh in the middle of all these problems is still very much alive. You have to have younger bodies to feed into the healthcare websites, or else you can't have the people who are older in that particular health exchange because they would tank it. Where are they going to get the money from? So the president said he was not happy with the enrollment programs. He was not happy with the problems. He was happy with the programs, and he wants everybody to sign up, and you heard him talk about freedom there. So the question is, do you think, does he acts as if he didn't know as much, but do you think he really knew a lot more, and this is everybody covering up for the president's own faux pas? I mean, is he a control freak in any way, or is he just delegating every single thing in office? So when he was out speaking on Wednesday, he said he took full responsibility for resolving the computer problems that are undermining a key step in the healthcare law, saying we're going to get through this. He talked about the benefits and the difficulties of the healthcare law in Massachusetts. He cited early problems with the Massachusetts law. And he says, but these are the worst kinds of things that we're talking about. What about the benefits? He's saying that already the benefits are available under the health care law, including discrimination against children with pre-existing conditions and permission to keep young people on parents' insurance until they turn 26. So that there is a way to solve what some believe is something that you can't solve that easily. So you have the Health and Human Services Secretary mentioned at the top, you heard her, Sebelius, defending the health care overhaul at the House committee hearing in Washington, apologizing for all the problems with the enrollment. And finally, she had to ask some, you know, answer some tough questions about the government memo raising security concerns about healthcare.gov. And they're talking about hackers, somebody, some parasite getting on to the web for healthcare.gov, because think of how many people have personal information there and how they could pick it off. So Obama, who lived in Boston while he was a student at Harvard, was in town for the World Series game. But he wasn't going to make the side trip to Fenway Park because of the whole security thing, and so he didn't ever think about attending. It wasn't about that so much. But he was speaking, you know, in Boston. He was speaking at a fundraiser for House Democrats, and you had about 60 people that paid paid $16,000 to maybe up to 65 to be there for dinner, and then there was going to be Red Sox cookies and all that other kind of stuff as the World Series was being played out. So he was in Boston, in other words, Massachusetts healthcare law, talking about the problems that they had and how healthcare.gov has had problems, but that this is the way to go, and it's just going to get better, better, and better. So here's the other thing. Do you believe that it's going to get much better? Are the wrinkles going to be ironed out? And are people who are promised affordable health care going to be okay with it and feel like they're getting affordable health care? Or are they going to feel like they're being ripped off and misled on what it was to begin with, to just try to jam it through and then figure it out? I think the people getting the cancellation notices, because we've talked about them now for the last couple of days, have to be just livid. I mean, they have to be livid. How many of them find themselves where they're trying to stash away cash because they're in their mid to late 50s, let's say, and they're stuck? You know, they're stuck, and to have to throw a curveball where you're asking to spend another $1,000, that's rough on a budget when you weren't planning for it. Very, very, very rough. Really rough. Coming up on this Hour of America tonight, we're going to talk to Jack Heath. Jack Heath has become quite the writer. He's on his third book, one of his books about Salem witches. He talked about before on this show and talked about the magic of witches and how now seems to be a hot time for stories related to the Salem witch trials or those who stepped around it. And so Jack Heath is coming up toward the bottom of the hour to talk about that and some other things as well. Some other things as well related to movie making and Halloween and books and all that good stuff. All right, stay with us on the flip side, filling you in on some odds and ends. And in the meantime, the president with the low approval ratings, are you surprised by that or nah, they were right on target? You know my answer. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Traumamax, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Traumamax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, 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 when it came to winning.
You have exposed millions of Americans because you all, according to your memo, believed it was an acceptable risk. Don't you think you had the obligation to tell the American people that we're going to put you in this system, but you beware, your information is likely to be vulnerable? Would you commit today, Secretary, to shut down the system and give an end-to-end security test so that these Americans can have their information?
No, sir. If you read the memo, it goes to say that weekly testing of our border devices, including interface testing, daily, weekly scans are going on. This is a temporary authority.
Candidly, that's not what the memo says, number one. And number two, the contractors will tell you it's not happening.
Mr. Chairman,
well, you can see it was a really tough day for Kathleen Sebelius. There was nowhere for her to hide on the Hill, and that's just round one. She's got to come back and do another committee next week, and I'm sure there'll be more questions as more things continue to develop and happen with this whole health care debacle. Great idea. Who doesn't want affordable health care? But the execution has been lousy. Absolutely lousy. Stacy in Missouri. How you doing, Stace? Oh, I dropped Stacy in Missouri. If you call back, I'll get you back on. That's what happens when you press the wrong buttons. It's kind of like healthcare.gov. You launch them off into the ozone and they can't get back again. Oh, I know. You hit the wrong button and that's it. What are you going to do? Even Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, who I consider to be pretty even-keeled, he just doesn't start attacking for no reason, and often he's attacked Republicans when stupid things have happened. He says that the Obama administration is the most incompetent in history. Most incompetent in history. And it's because, really, from probably May until now, and even before that, but let's just take those months, it's been incredible the things that have happened out of the White House, and yet no heads roll. Nobody pays the price. There's no accountability. It doesn't make sense. I know many of you in your positions, think of all the jobs you've had, even when you've been fired wrongly, where you shouldn't have been fired, there is an accountability thing. And accountability just seems to be missing seems to be the core element that is missing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Because, yeah, it's, I think it's almost like if there's a screw-up, I just picture this. They're sitting in the Oval Office, the Brain Trust, and they're saying, oh, you got to be kidding me. Somebody calls Sebelius. Are you kidding me with this website rollout? The tests were not done, tests on top of other tests, and why did this happen? And now all of a sudden people are getting these cancellation notices, and they're trying to blame us. So it's like they come up with this. They're eating pizza, and they're sitting there kicking back and saying, well, by golly, you know, we're not to blame for this. It's not our fault that this happened. I was in a meeting with somebody like that this past week where clearly they had made a bunch of mistakes, but there was no taking responsibility for the mistakes, which would have been so easy. I say this all the time. And Sebelius did apologize a couple of times, which is amazing, because you really are not getting that. But you heard when she was badgered, they were, let's just shut this down and do the whole, let's look at the whole website. It's not going to happen. They're not shutting down affordable health care. But if the Republicans are smart, and if I were a Republican strategist, hello, Rents Priebus, running the party, this is the time to take advantage of that if you want to get some people elected. Because people are really hung up, really furious, and they should be. Nobody wants to have to pay more. We're getting nickeled and dimed all over the place. And this, for goodness sake, is your health care. This isn't your cable bill. This isn't your cell phone package. I mean, this is your health. So when you think you have it right and you're ignoring the whole affordable health care thing because you think, well, it's not going to affect me. I like my insurance. My insurance is fine. I have a good plan. I have a good doctor. And I'm okay with that. And I was told that we're not going to see any changes. Well, no. You didn't read the fine print. I suppose because we all needed to read the law backwards and forwards, so we didn't know, we didn't realize that that was the case, I guess. And sure enough, this is now the case. You know, it's just some more surprises. And again, that whole lack of accountability. I mean, it's just so easy to beat up on what's coming out of D.C. They make it easy. They make it ridiculously easy for us. And that's why the frustration. That's why saying Bobby Jindal attacking, you know, Obama, not because he's a Republican governor, because as I said, he is an equal opportunity ripper. He's ripped on his own party for things that he didn't agree with. But he's seeing from afar what's happening, the interpretation of it. You know, not, by the way, having this colored in any direction. Just looking at it. So Sebelius did say, I'm accountable. Did say, I take responsibility for this. As did Obama. He said, I take responsibility for it. So what else happens next? What else goes wrong with affordable health care? And again, this is a plan, and this is the reason why there's so much focus on it, that we're being forced to take it. It's not an option. It's not, well, geez, we're offering this affordable coverage that you can jump on if you so choose to do it, but you're not being forced to do it. But it's the opposite of that. We're being forced to do it. We're being forced to get the health care that's being offered or suffer a fine. All right, I think he's back again after my blunder. Stacy in Mississippi, we got you, buddy. Hey, Stacy.
We didn't hit the wrong button this time.
Yeah, anyway, I'm just like healthcare.gov.
It's covered everything you say, and there's something I want to put in on it. And please don't let me forget about the Medicaid and Medicare stuff. But anyway,
okay.
I wish to God I had a cell phone number. I could send you a picture of what it is. It's like a stamp of Obama, and it's got U.S. mail at the top of it. It says Obamacare 2013. I knew 13 was a bad look number. It's got an old train rigged with the front end of it, straight up, the butt end of it up, and the front end down, the butt end of it up, and the whole train's a train rig, but smoke still coming out of the train. still blowing smoke up your butt after the train done wrecked. Okay, that's a stamp like of Obama anyway. After Obama junk and everything, a very, very, very close person to me. Anyway, his insurance went from about, for him, his wife, and two little kids, went from around $900 a month to $2,198 and some odd cents. That's $2,200 a month for insurance. Mm. Okay? Mm. It's that Obamacare. God bless his soul, little sweet TP. Anyway, another boy that works in a grocery store is a friend of mine, talking about getting Blue Cross Blue Shield. I said, well, yeah. They talking about dropping people left and right and not going bankrupt and all. He's even a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, is a doctor, one of my best friends. He's an East Bower, made a bricklayer. He's, my God, ain't no job to make brick, even for bricklayers. But Medicaid and Medicare, okay? Everybody thinks, well, with a bunch of thugs and everything, you know, I'm not saying that thugs get on Medicaid and Medicare. I'm talking about using, abusing, get the drugs they don't need and sell them and all. Right. What I'm getting to is, when you get on Medicaid and Medicare, like me, I pay for my land, my house, everything's paid for, vehicles, all's paid for. But if I die, it all goes to the government. Don't think everybody thinks, everybody don't know about this. They think it's free, it goes straight to the government. Your family's got the first to buy it from the government, but it goes to the government. I mean, the government has got everything to do from your car tires to the glasses you wear to the hair color you put on your hair to what you cut your grass with to the towels you dry yourself off with. I mean, we got too much government, just like Ronald Reagan said. Mm. Enough is enough. And Obama, I mean, he has done so much junk wrong and against the Constitution. Why can't he be thrown out of office like a bunch of truckers are supposed to show up, I think, in Washington on the 19th? I mean, I wish to God they could throw him out of office. Enough is enough.
Stacey, enough is enough is right. That's where a lot of people feel the same way. I agree with you in the sense that there's no doubt that we've seen so many debacles in the last 6 months. Even people that were really supportive of Obama are starting to really leave the building. Stay with us. We're talking witches next.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
My name is Frank Bates, and I got a confession to make. Just a few days ago, FEMA went directly to my supplier and tried to buy my entire stockpile of high-quality survival food. It sounds crazy, but I'll show you the exact letter they sent in a minute. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, and I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see undeniable video proof that the government is on the hunt for as much survival food as they can grab in 24 hours. Be warned, it's really disturbing because the fact is FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see why survival food is the number one item to hoard right now and why supplies are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Do it now, because I don't know how long it will be online, so go to FEMAHatesThis.com while you can. That's FEMAHatesThis.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Everybody knows what a big fan I am of Halloween, and here we are once again, my favorite time of the year. I'm not even going to tell you what my costume is at this point. So happy to welcome back to the show. He's in our virtual scary green room, Jack Heath. He's got another book out, Chain of Souls. Do you love that name, Chain of Souls? He's going to tell us all about it. Remember we talked before about witches, his family history. It was really, really good stuff. So, Jack, always fun to have you on the show. Don't be a stranger. We're happy to have you back again. How you been?
Hey, good, thanks, and I hope you've been well.
I have been well. And is it true? You sent me a note about this, that the film rights for your book has been bought and they're starting to work on a movie on the first book. Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And trying to get my arms or my mind around it. But yeah, Michael DeRocher of Wonderland Pictures, he was working on the film in Boston when the sad Boston Marathon bombing happened. They were doing a movie up there with Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale on the banking scandals of the, 20, 30 years ago, and they had to move, and they moved to Salem, Mass, of all places, to finish the filming. And somehow one of his location guys, mother, had read my first book, Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, and told him about it, and he read it and called me down to the set, and I talked to him, and he made an offer to the publisher to buy the film rights, so he's begun pre-production work on a movie for the book.
I love it. That is very, very, very exciting. Got to keep us abreast of what happens there. So now you go into the second one, Chain of Souls. And first of all, what was it? We talked about this before, that you said there you had a lot in you, that there was more writing that was going to come. How long did it take you to put together Chain of Souls?
Chain of Souls came together. I was able to write it faster. The first book, Kate, when I was out with you, I was kind of my upbringing, a lot of years of knowing I was a descendant of both sides of the Salem witch trials. So a lot of my adult life thinking about it, and I just wrote it without an outline, without much overview, because I had no publishing deal. And, my sister read it, she's the poet laureate of South Carolina and a novelist or a writer, and she sent it off to some people in New York. So the first one got published in a sort of a backwards way. The second one, they put me under the old outline discipline, so I was able to write the second one in about 3.5 months.
Wow, 3.5 months. So give us an overview of what we can expect with Chain of Souls.
Well, John Andrews is a central character, in the first book, he finds out that he's caught between the bloodlines of the Salem witch trials from 321, you know, more than three centuries ago in modern-day Salem. So he's trying to figure out what's going on, and his wife in the first book is killed in a car accident doing an errand for him by a Putnam, which was one of his relatives in the book, as the accuser of the witch trials, and he doesn't really know what he's in the middle of. So the first book is the premise that the witch trials are not what we think they are, and there's a secret satanic coven at work in Salem, kind of after his good spirit from Rebecca Nurse, his ancestor, who was the last woman hanged as a Salem witch in 1692. The second book, Chain of Souls, continues. He kind of survives. He still doesn't know what's happening. His life's been turned upside down. John Andrews and his daughter is kidnapped early on in the book by the group, trying to convert her to the dark side. So it's a battle with more of him, you know, good versus evil, trying to unravel what happened more than three centuries ago in Salem with the witch trials, and Rebecca Nurse kind of rising within him to liberate his daughter and kind of expose the whole thing. So it's a continuation of the same battle in the first book.
What do you think it is about, and we talked about this before, I think witches are making a comeback. You know, zombies are big, and if you watch television at all, or just you're watching sports, you look at all the promos, Grimm, Once Upon a Time, Dracula, we are into horror, and I think witches are really making a big comeback. Does it feel that way to you, that people are fascinated again? Not that they ever lost that, but I think there is now more of a fascination. It's come back around with the witches and the history and the Salem witch trials and all that. Do you think so?
Well, I don't know if I think so, but the analysts in the entertainment industry apparently think so. It could just be a big way to escape what's happening in Washington, D.C. But anyway, you know, it's kind of funny because I had no idea 3 or so years ago when I wrote the first book that the witch thing and the paranormal and the medium and the psychics would be kind of hot. And when I first met with Michael DeRocher and I'm kind of thanking him and getting to know him for buying the film rights, he says to me in a nice way, you know, it's not that he likes me that much or the book. He loves the book, but he said, Jack, my agent and our lawyers research this stuff for the next several years. And the next big thing in Hollywood are witches. So your book and the timing of it, he goes, so I guess I had no idea. I mean, you know, this timing in life, you don't know what you're doing at the time. But apparently the whole zombie, Walking Dead, werewolf, all this other stuff is witches and mediums and psychics are kind of the hot thing. And that's sort of what Salem, Massachusetts is all about.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, when you go into this whole publishing thing and publishers have the movie rights and sometimes you get the merchandising rights, did you keep the merchandising rights so you can design some little witches or whatnot?
Well, I was going to talk to Kate Delaney's agent and ask the agent if we could do that, but I'm not sure. I know that he bought the film, video, play, theater, all that stuff, the publisher.
Yeah.
It was really between them. And the beautiful thing, and Kate, you've been an author, and I read your book on sports and all that. The neat thing about this is it puts a lot of good exposure on the books. The books have done well, the first two. They've done well on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But when you make a movie on a book, and they're looking at some pretty high-level actors to be in the book, I mean the movie, mm-hmm. It's a blessing to, you know, kind of get the book out to a bigger audience. So, you know, the other stuff, I'm really more focused on trying to creatively not get in the way of the movie getting made, and then hopefully it puts a good spotlight on the books.
Do you in your mind have a fantasy of who would play some of the characters?
I do, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble tonight because you're on a lot of stations, but let's just say a little scoop. I'd say that I would be delighted, even though he's a St. Louis Cardinal fan from St. Louis, I think John Hamm would be a marvelous John Andrews. For Mad Men, and by the way, the Red Sox are doing okay tonight. So I think he would be great. But, you know, the nice thing about the movie process, which I'm not directly involved in, is, you know, we have Superman and Batman and Iron Man and all these, like, computer-animated superhero-type movies. But this could be, and Michael DeRocher thinks this might be a movie that is kind of Rosemary's Baby meets National Treasure, where it's a New England based and shot movie with real writing and real acting. And it might be kind of nice because it may be one of those movies that gets into the fray with good old New England drama. I don't know who will end up playing what part. That's not my area, but I'm just excited that they're underway and he's already raised a chunk of his money to make the movie, and he's been involved in Hollywood for a lot of years and he loves it. So we'll see. You know, so it's a process, Kate, as you know.
Yeah. What happens to the talk show when you become uber famous and, you know, like you're the counterpart for the woman who's 50 Shades of Grey?
No, you know, that's all scary talk. And if I can just like still be on Kate Delaney's show, America Tonight, and have you on my show, I'll be a happy guy.
Always.
It's funny. Michael's a great guy and I've met some people in the process. And you reach a point where you realize a lot of this is out of your control. You got to do the work, you know, be there. But I'm not looking to buy a boat or a bigger house. I've met a lot of authors who are just struggling to get their books out. I'd love to be a help to some people and kind of be a catalyst to get them out there, do some good. I don't want for anything. I'm blessed beyond my worthiness, and it would be a fun process, and it would be nice to respect the history of Salem and Rebecca Nurse and do some good and maybe put a memorial up in Salem in her name. And, you know, it's just at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, you got a few friends and family, and if you do, you're fortunate.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Hey, somebody who likes to write, and I'm right there with you, I get it. I got all kinds of projects going on. And it's so exciting. It's fun. It's just that it's that passion about writing. Do you have a favorite book? The best book you ever read? Because I guarantee you're a voracious reader. Guarantee it.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, Kate? First of all, the answer to your question would be F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby. I read it young. I read it old. I just like it. I like Robert Ludlum, a lot of his books, before they were kind of movies. I'm a paranormal suspense, more crime guy. I like a lot of police type stories.
Mm-hmm.
My books are somewhat that because of my reporting years in the news business, but I'm not as much of a reader as I really like to write. I don't know what it is. Everyone thinks the hard part of a book is writing. To me, writing is not the hard part. Writing is the fun part where you can escape and you can go for hours in your basement or your den or your laptop or your, you know, wherever you are. You could be in a Starbucks writing. And I'm not a Starbucks fan, by the way. But the marketing and getting the book out there, that's the hard part. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's the hard part. I think there's a lot of great writers out there, much better than me. I'm a storyteller. I mean, I came up with the whole film. It's my wife in the other room clapping because the Red Sox must be doing well. I grew up, you know, near in and around Salem. I knew my history with the witch trials. I just came up with an idea. I like telling stories and writing to that. So to me, writing is a lot more fun than I should probably read more, but I like to write.
That's a great answer. All right, so if somebody wants to pick up the books, I mean, I'm Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, New England. There's a lot of stores in New England, Barnes & Noble, physical stores, independent bookstores. Amazon's doing a special through tomorrow night at midnight with Goodreads on both books, Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, and Chain of Souls, and anything that Kate Delaney's ever written or will write is part of that.
Perfect. I love it. So fun to have you on. Jack Heath, continued success. A lot of fun. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're the best, Kate. Happy Halloween.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food? What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig a long time ago. LeCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come this is down. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama.
All right, we're going through the turnstile. Hitting the exit for this hour, anyway, of America Tonight. Yeah, there is one person who really feels like the Obamacare plan can absolutely succeed in America across the board, and it is the governor of Massachusetts. He believes. Take a listen.
Healthcare reform is working for the people of Massachusetts, and it will work for the people of America.
Except for the people who have to pay that much more for their premiums. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us here in our little treehouse called America Tonight. The view is pretty interesting, I have to say. A couple of quick things. Hats off once again to Boston. They win the World Series 6-1, clobbered St. Louis in that sixth game. First time since 1918 that they were able to win in front of the home crowd. They've won a couple of series, but they've been on the road when they've won, so that's pretty exciting for those folks. Don't forget, coming up in our next hour in America Tonight, the last two segments, nail the score. You could win some fabulous prizes. All you have to do is guess which team wins and what the final score is. We've had two winners here on the GCN network since we've done it. Dave in Vermont, and Chris in Connecticut. Maybe you're going to be the next winner. How about somebody in Missouri, somebody in Florida, or any of the other great places where we are on? Perhaps Ottumwa, Iowa. Who knows? You could be next. That's the key thing. As we move along, and it's interesting, as I said, the view from the fort is pretty interesting here, and I have to say, besides the rippling effects of what's going on in Boston, there are a few other things that have happened that I think are going to spread across the land. And one of them is the electronic cigarettes. You know, we've looked at this from different angles. We've had people on the show to talk about it. We had a successful entrepreneur who was a smoker and went to electronic cigarettes and then opened a business, and it's just exploded. And a lot of people are doing it. I just saw Jenny McCarthy on a national television ad talking about the e-cigarette thing. And what's probably going to happen, I don't know, you know how New York, they regulate. So they've jumped on these new smoking rules, and they've raised the minimum age to buy cigarettes, regular cigarettes, to 21. And New York becomes the first city to change the smoking age from 18 to 21. And some people think that this is going to spread. Do you think this is going to spread? Do you think that there are other states that are going to take this up, pass an ordinance, and move it to 21 from 18? Now, so the e-cigarette thing is this. There aren't those regulations. There aren't any kind of regulations or getting the big taxes off of it. And that's probably the next thing that happens because of how popular it is and, you know, just how the explosion of it. So anything that explodes and looks good, it's time to get in there and make some regulations and get some money. That's what I think. You know, when I look across the board, if you go back and you look at laws in the last 10 years, federal laws, and then even some state laws, and it's interesting to follow the trends. So by moving the legislation raising the smoking age for tobacco products would include cigars and flavored cigarettes. So it would raise the minimum age for buying electronic cigarettes that has the dose of nicotine with vapor instead of smoke. It would do the same thing there. Now, of course, the ban is opposed by retail groups, including there's a group out of New York called Save Our Stores Coalition, because they say it's going to kill small businesses and bodegas, because that's what's happened. They've creeped up, and it's been a great entrepreneurial boon across the country, not just in New York, but in other places. And they say they're going to really, really push and try to combat tougher penalties even for black market cigarette sales. When I worked in New York, I worked at The Fan. It was an all-sports radio station, actually the biggest in the country. And it's interesting because the guys in the newsroom used to always ask everybody, they'd talk to people who smoked, and they said they would go to Mohegan Sun, the Indian casino, and they would get cigarettes because they were so much cheaper than the taxes you had to pay in New York. So imagine if all these things pass, and how would that affect some of those businesses there? And like I said, you can only see it probably spreading to some other states as well, because once it gets talked about, push, and it comes out of New York, a lot of times that goes down the trail and hits and affects other states eventually. In this hour of America Tonight, I mentioned the fact that the approval ratings for the president were incredibly sobering. If you were working in this White House, everything hums along on the polls. It does. They hang their hats on what the numbers are. So they weren't happy with this. 45% disapproval rating. 42% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. So for the first time in the poll's history, his personal approval ratings were lower than his disapproval ratings. How about that? And I know that this is what's crested after the rough summer with what was happening with the IRS and the pounding of Benghazi and a couple of other huge things, including the IRS deal, Lois Lerner eventually stepping away, but still unanswered questions, and then this whole thing ultimately accumulating, building up to affordable care, and then people realizing the reality is that a lot of people aren't going to get the health care that they had before that they were happy with, and they're going to pay more because they're caught in between. They're the true middle class, especially if they're a small business owner and they have their own individual health insurance. That's where you can really get pinched. And you combat that, you know, you mix that in the pot with what's happening with the pensions. Is, you know, forget pensions for anybody now, my generation and on behind me. But pensions for people in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, I mean, that was a layup. It was a way they could retire. And, of course, they weren't living quite as long. But now these pensions are getting picked apart in cities across America, and they're blaming that for bankrupting cities. Springfield, Illinois, we have a lot of listeners there. They say the city's annual payments to the state public employee retirement system has tripled to $19.8 million, and that's 25% of its operating budget. 25%. And we know, of course, where Illinois as overall is. $100 billion in unfunded pension debt. The state capitol says this is the worst fiscal crisis, period, and it's going to be the worst in the nation. So the governor, Pat Quinn, says something has to happen here. It's happening in California. It's happening in Illinois. And the pension spending with the 200 largest cities went up 10% of their general budgets in 2012, and it keeps climbing because of the retirement age. So do eventually we look forward to cities turning into Detroit because of some of the labor unions and some of the benefits for the government workers? So taxpayers on the other end of it are really, really, really looking down the barrel of a long shot in trying to dig this out, without a doubt. And somebody told me today there's just under 50 unions in Detroit. You go to Detroit, boy, oh boy, it's a sad thing to see. Lots of boarded up homes. Nobody really in proper Detroit wanting to live there anymore. What a different place it is from two decades ago. Hey, thanks for listening to this Hour of America tonight.
Business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.